Tom Kissingberry here. Nah, I'm just kidding. We don't have Tom Kissingberry money. It's just me, Peter Howard, and Jake Anderson meeting at the Dynasty Crossroads once a week for 30 minutes to talk about one player at a time. We look at the film with Jake, we talk about the analytics with me, and we try to come to a consensus. We do have a pretty cool theme song, though.
Peter crunches numbers, and Jake just grinds that tape. Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me saying got em. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn. He had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict, Russ and Brian are the names. Trade addicts pod, let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Brian Haar, and I also have a trading problem.
The Haaratus is over, everybody, or at least for now. I mean, let's be honest. First of all, hey, everybody. Welcome to Session 116 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, and also a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will. And the original plan was Brian was on his hiatus, so I'm like, hey guys, I mean, what should we do? And then they're like, we'll all come on. Let's just have like a round table. And then Brian's like, no, I don't want to miss that. So this is a momentary lapse of the Haaratus, as I have coined it. Haaratus, by the way, is a hiatus when you don't actually really take a hiatus. because that's how Brian's been handling this. But how you doing, man? You feeling good?
So, I mean, overall, yes. Now, I was doing really good until like 20 minutes ago. So EA Sports has to like just send me into a whirlwind here today. I mean, have you guys seen the rankings for the running backs for Madden 21?
Is Saquon not a 99?
It's an 89. Are you serious?
Wow, an 89. I mean, that is
an 89.
I haven't played Madden in a very long time. But man, 89 seems low.
Aaron Jones.
That sounds about right. That sounds,
Aaron Jones.
That sounds right.
Oh, Dustin.
This kid, Brian, I love you. I love you, Brian.
And I just want to point
Aaron
this
Jones
out.
Aaron Jones is ranked higher. Aaron Jones is ranked higher.
Oh, that is very wrong.
That sounds about
unless
right.
Like he's 106 in touchdown scoring and that pushed him over the edge. Maybe. But just want to put this out there. Brian took his hiatus because he found himself getting a little too worked up too often, and then within 30 seconds of being on back on the show, he's breathing heavy and screaming and got his Saquon dropout nice and early. But I'm glad to have you back for however short. Oh, he's got his quads necklace on.
Love it.
Whether it's for 6 minutes before you freak out and pull the plug on your internet, the rest of the show, whatever. I'm glad to have you back, buddy.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. And for real, it's been a really good couple of weeks just getting away and kind of focusing on, you know, my family here and the friends here and community and whatnot. So it's been really good. I appreciate everybody giving me the space. Hard to stay away during fishbowl season too. So, I have kind of been popping in and out of different places as far as that goes, just, you know, interacting a little bit around that. But yeah, I'm glad to be here tonight. Look, this group right here is awesome. I mean, an assemblance of some of the greatest minds and some of the greatest guys in the fantasy industry. So really happy to be here tonight. Couldn't miss it. We're going to have some fun. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's just point out what we've been talking about from the fantasy timeline. We have Josh and Bill.
Ooh.
Hey, fellas.
And from the number one show on the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, at least when you rank it by status of guests on, we have Dustin and Rocky of the Dynasty Junkies.
Hey guys, what's up?
Yeah. So we have all six of us here from the DAP network, and we had a wonderful, like, we started at about like 15, 20 minutes late because we sign on, we get our hellos and everything out of the way. We talk about a few things. Dustin's working on getting a new tattoo sleeve. So we're talking about that for a little bit. Bill signs on. He's talking about doing lots of drugs and we're just like, do you guys have anything to talk about? Like, and I'm sitting here scrolling Twitter. I'm like, I literally have nothing to talk about. There's six of us and we're going to be sitting here in silence because I just got, and then Brian shows up like, no, let's just do this. We got this.
From the tweet you put out, we clearly should be talking about Ferris Bueller's Day Off, apparently.
Right? I mean, let's call our listenership out like the way it needs to happen. I'm sensing a favoritism going on because I tweet out, what should we talk about? And I'll get, if I'm lucky, I get three or four things. Brian looks for listener questions. He gets two shows worth.
Well, so let's put it into perspective, though. I mean, I think most folks out there, you know, Russ, they appreciate your hosting abilities and the excellent job that you do on all the shows that you host and this show in particular. And so, like, when I'm hosting a show without you and ask for listener questions, it's like, we need to throw this guy a bone so he has some stuff to talk about. Like, you come up with this stuff and pop it out and are so awesome at it. And I'm not so great at that part. So when I ask, people help me out a little bit, make my job a little bit easier. But make Russ's job a little bit easier. So that, you know, give him some questions. Jeez.
But, you know, you better get used to it, because when I go on my heart rate, you're the one that's going to be hosting this stuff.
Yes, sir.
Hey.
Okay. Well, man, I don't know. Scott Fishbowl, is anyone's draft still going on? Like, I feel bad for the people whose drafts are still going on in Scott Fishbowl. I see Bill shaking his head yes. Like,
yeah, we're in the 21st round now.
Okay, so you're pretty much there.
Today we knocked out like four rounds. Yeah, so it's been pretty decent. So we'll be done tomorrow.
Yeah, I was the second draft finished, and it is actually my complete fault that we were not the first. Had a ridiculous migraine earlier in the week, and I passed out in the middle of the day, and I ended up being on the clock for 5 hours, which before that, the longest on the clock was less than 1 hour. So, wow. Yes, nice. I totally screwed that one up. So sorry, Pogs fellas out there.
Whew. Yeah, we finished yesterday. We were... like, we slowed down big time. We had a guy timeout twice in the last, like, three rounds. We were the number one team through the first – or number one league through the first day. So I was like, oh, yeah, we're going to knock this out in a couple of days. And then it just – like, we had guys, like, average of 6 hours.
Okay, let's ask the important question. Does anyone actually dislike their team? Oh, we have three raised hands and one Talk about it, Brian.
Yeah, So I went Travis Kelce with my first pick. It was 108.
Which I know very well because that's what I did as well. And that just,
yeah. It's so weird. Like, it's such a weird pick and something that I'm not used to do. I mean, I did do it. I've done it in the Trade Addicts leagues before, picked a tight end in the first round. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, it just didn't work out as well this time as far as the talent that I was expecting to be around in the rounds following. Mm-hmm. Every league in the fishbowl, every division has a bunch of sharks. I mean, you can't really claim that and be, you know, unique. I mean, every league has some really, really good fantasy players and fantasy minds and analysts and whatnot. So, our league's full of them. Jeff Erickson's in my league. I was just listening to him on Sirius XM today, thinking I should have listened a little bit more closely before the draft, for some strategy sessions. But no, my team is just not, I don't love it. I kind of got stuck in the, So I was like going old guys. My team would have been great like 3 to 5 years ago. So I have, I'm serious. So I have Julio, I have AJ Green, I have Mohamed Sanu, I have Larry Fitzgerald. Like I have all these guys that would have been superstars 3 to 5 years ago. But a lot of question marks, in today's world, right? And I have a couple rookies. I have Jerry Jeudy, Mims. I do have Darius Slayton, which I'm excited about. I think he's going to be a heck of a guy to own this year or have rostered. And then just the running backs. I mean, I have Nick Chubb. I love that pick. I think that was my third round pick, or second. It might have been my second.
I would imagine that was your second.
Yeah, but my other running backs aren't great. I mean, I have Connor, I have AJ Dillon, the rookie, Justice Hill, and Nyheim Hines. So I'm just not great. I love my tight ends, Noah Fant and Travis Kelce, and then I have
Kahale Waring.
Thank you. There you go. There you go.
I have him too.
So, you know, I feel good at tight end. Quarterbacks, I've got Brady, Locke, and Tannehill. I feel fine about that. As long as nobody gets hurt. But running back and wide receiver, I don't feel great about. So, well, just have to see what happens. I mean, this is the year I'll probably do a lot better than I'm anticipating doing, because the last couple of years I felt like I drafted really good teams and not so much. So, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. So, I'm glad you didn't. Now, I don't remember if we talked about this on the show, because like Brian said, he's been on his hiatus since most of Scott Fishbowl time. But Brian showed me a screenshot. I think it was off of Josh ADHD's little thing there, where Brian and I, over the past two Fishbowls that we've both been in, have the same win percentage over the 2 years. Now, he has the both, like I bookend. So I had a really bad year this year and a really good year the year before, and he was in the middle both years, but still they average out to be exactly the same. And last year, our first, we had like 4 out of 7 players in the first 7 rounds the same. And then we both started Kelce this year.
Yeah.
So I was ready for you to say, I hate my team. And then you start like just listing off people I had on my team. And then I would just start crying live on the show. But I'm glad that didn't happen. So your team can suck all you want. That's fine. Even though that means we'll have to end with the same record anyway.
Is it
right, who Kent? Else raised their hand?
It might have been Kent. Yeah.
He had one where you can compare who has the most similar draft as you.
Yeah.
Kent Wyrock.
And Dustin and I are on that list together. So we drafted very similarly.
Yeah, I feel like I just kind of went like balanced, and I'm not really strong anywhere. I just kind of didn't really reach for anybody. I just kind of took what was there value wise, and just kind of like my quarterbacks are fine. I have, who do I have? I have Breeze. I lost my team. Breeze, Kirk Cousins, Bridgewater. I have Winston as well. Running back, I have Mixon, Jonathan Taylor, David Johnson, Melvin Gordon. I have like McFarland and Ito. I didn't take a wide receiver till the 7-11. Then I have Boyd, Devontae Parker, Emmanuel Sanders, Anthony Miller, Corey Davis, Larry Fitzgerald, and then tight end. I have Hunter Henry, Kyle Rudolph, Ian Thomas, and Josh Oliver. So I'm just kind of like, meh, like it should put up points.
That's solid.
But it's just like nothing super exciting. You know, like I don't have that guy that's going to go out and blow up for me. Like, I just feel like I have just a pretty balanced team. And so we'll see what happens.
I just feel sorry for Billy. He's got a team similar to Dustin. So obviously you're not going to do that well.
Wow. You know, it's interesting because like when you rattled it off, I'm like, yeah, we have some similar players, but my team was built completely differently. Like I went running back heavy early, and I guess it's just because you and I had some, you know, a handful of similar guys, but, yeah, mine is definitely not balanced. Like my quarterbacks, I have Lamar and Ben, and they have the same bye week. And then I just said, "Eh, whatever." I didn't even like freak out about it. I just decided I'm just gonna, you know, take the loss on that week. And I drafted a couple quarterbacks late. Maybe they'll get the start before the bye week, but otherwise I'm not going to sweat it for 1 week because I'll get all the points the other weeks. And so quarterback is definitely my weak point for depth, but I'm happy with the starters. So we'll see.
Yeah, I was like my big regret was taking Breeze at 111. I know like in the quarterback rankings and stuff that seemed like good value, but quarterbacks did not go very early in my league. I got Teddy in the end of the 10th round. So if I would have known I could have got that value, then I would have taken another running back. Or like I took Breeze over Kittle, and like Kittle would have looked a lot better on my roster. So that was my big regret, but it is what it is.
Wow, Teddy went in the 6th in mine.
See, I learned my lesson last year drafting Mahomes in the 1st and then no quarterback going till the 3rd. Like, I'm like, oh, yeah, Mahomes fell to 106. I got this. Wait, what? What? No, why? No, no, you guys should. What are you? What?
I don't think that was happening.
I remember we were both in though. The.
Go ahead, Dustin.
Yeah, Russ, you and I were both in the same conference last year, and we both took Mahomes. I remember that. We were, I think, the same spot in the same conference, and we both took Mahomes in the 1st.
Yeah, I was crying for 2 rounds. And I mean, my team ended up just being really bad anyway. But yeah, that really just hurt my feelings. So I knew this is weird. This is honestly the only time I can really remember where scoring played this much of a factor in how I drafted. Maybe also just because there's no trading. And every year I give Scott Fish some crap about it, you know. That, you know, my version of giving Scott Fish crap is asking once, because other than that, I'm afraid I'm going to offend him and he won't like me anymore. Because, I mean, nobody wants Scott Fish to not like them. But yeah, maybe that's really the reason it is. A, redraft, B, no trading. But like, yeah, I was I drafted 2 tight ends in the 1st 2 rounds. I mean, I went Kelce, Mark Andrews, and then like 3 running backs. And then, Two tight ends, 2 running backs, Ryan Tannehill. And then I turned into myself again and drafted Calvin Ridley and Tyler Boyd. So eventually I got back to my roots, right?
Yeah. Hey, I mean, you know, that's why I took Boyd, because you love him so much. So if I fail, it's because of you.
I do not take any of that blame ever.
Yeah, I just don't know what to think of my team. I intentionally kind of sort of faded wide receiver. I started off with the Lamar Andrews stack, and I kind of went heavy on running back with Eckler and Gordon and Akers in the first few rounds. I have DJ Moore mixed in there because everyone knows I love DJ Moore. And Devontae Parker is my wide receiver too. And then I put it out on Twitter, and like half the people liked my team and half didn't. My wide receiver 3 is coming from a bunch of first and second year guys. I got Harry, Justin Jefferson, Paris Campbell, Mims, J-Jaw, and I also faded tight end after Andrews too, which has me worried a little if anything happens to him. I have Herndon, Olsen, and Waring as well, so I have no idea what to think of my team, basically. That's where I'm at. So I think it's but we'll see. What do you guys think of those receivers?
Someone answer, because I wasn't listening.
I would be afraid going into the season with those as my potential 3rd, but you just got to hope one of those guys pops, I guess. I would be pretty insecure because there's just so many wide receivers, and it was so deep. Like, I think in the 19th round, I was getting like Tyrell Williams, and like he could still be something. So like I'd be worried just taking guys who haven't really popped yet, and relying on them. Those are guys I'd rather, you know, be on my bench, I guess.
Yeah, my thinking was going for upside with all the, you know, if I take enough of them, one or two of them is going to hit and way outperform their ADP. So hopefully that's the case. And I also have Baker as my QB2, which worries me a little too, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. I don't like my team at all. I walked in and I was like, I have this very detailed plan for the way I was going to draft, which I normally don't do in any other draft. But like you guys were saying earlier, the scoring is kind of so crazy that I felt like I needed to have a detailed plan to go through to kind of maximize everything. So I was like, I'm going to grab Drew Brees in the 1st and then go running back to like the 7th or 8th and then grab wide receivers and kind of go you know, fade the tight end. And the only part of that plan that actually worked out for me was fading the tight end, because Dak Prescott was around at 206, and I was like, well, all right, I'm going to blow my old plan up in the second round and do this. And then I grabbed Eckler and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, both guys I'm kind of like, about, because I think there's going to be some regression with Eckler. And then I just don't know any rookie this year, you know, with lack of rookie training camps and stuff like that. Like, I'm just a little bit worried just for 2020 about him. And then I drafted Raheem Mostert in the eighth, who I hate. And then an hour and a half later, he's asking to be traded. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. So,
yeah. At least you didn't take him in the third. Like, some teams took him in the third round. So,
oh, yeah. I mean, it got to the point where I was like, okay, I don't like Raheem Mostert, but the eighth round, like, I can't let it go too far, just because it does get to a point where you're possibly letting some real value drop. And I don't want my
personal. It's a good spot for him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't want my personal bias to kind of, you know, maybe miss out on a player. But
I wish I was in a league with people who just like looked at the ADP listing and drafted whoever was on top when they couldn't make a decision. Like, that's why someone drafted Mostert in the third.
Right.
Is because like they just saw the name on top of the list because he was high up there.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's actually funny. I'm looking at my team and I like the second half of my draft a lot more than the first half, which probably means I win two games this year. But you know,
it also is how you win the league when the bottom half of your roster hits, because it's tough to screw up the first few rounds unless like your last year drafting Lev Bell or David Johnson. But yeah. Okay. So let's move on from Scott Fishbowl. So today I went again on an offer spree of DK Metcalf in almost every single league, except for three leagues, because I don't hate, I don't dislike, I am resentful of Swags, Matt Price, and Pete Lawrence, because they like DK Metcalf more than I do. So there's just no chance of me getting him in those leagues. So I don't even know at this point what I offered, who I offered. I got two rejections so far. No acceptances, of course, because why would someone accept one of my trades, Brian?
Sorry.
So, yeah, all of us. Like, Brian's like, maybe I'll show up tonight if I can. I don't know. Don't count on it. We're like, dude, just show up if you, it's fine. But we're all going to offer you trades just to try and get you to, you know, at least give us something to talk about. Brian has not accepted any of them, and he waited a plenty long time to reject them anyway, but that's not the point of what I'm talking about. So I went nuts on DK Metcalf. I am going nuts on DK Metcalf at this point. A little bit of homerism, I guess. It's not really it, because I honestly don't like owning Seahawks players. I kind of think he's the real deal. I'm in on DK Metcalf. What is there a guy right now in this, what is clearly a dead period for trades? Is there one guy that you in your head are like, maybe I'm just going to go through all of my leagues and throw out an offer for this guy? Does anyone have anyone? Or did I just start this conversation without checking with you guys and we have nothing to talk about?
I did it for Sutton. I did it for Sutton a couple months ago. I actually traded DK for Sutton a couple months ago because I had a ton of DK. I had him in like 7-8 leagues and I was like, okay, like, I don't want to be that much of a Seahawks homer, so I traded a couple of them away, got Sutton in one, but then like I saw people panicking when Judy got drafted, so yes. Then I went and sent a whole bunch of offers for Sutton. I got like 3 or 4 shares of him that week, so that worked out. That was my guy.
Yeah, I'm also a fan of Sutton. Yes, we know you're trying to trade for Saquon everywhere, Brian. Put the necklace down.
Mr. 89 himself.
Oh. Brian's going to log off real fast.
You know why he's 89? Because he goes 89 yards every time he touches the ball.
Yeah, that was a good one, Brian. Good for you.
I like
that,
it.
I'm trying.
I'm trying.
I mean, he's no Rob Gronkowski.
No, that's
95.
69. He should be run overall 69 in Madden.
Nice.
But we're going to try and actually talk a little fantasy football. Sutton, I think, is like an awesome buy right now because I've always been a huge fan of him. And people act like there could only be one wide receiver on the field for a guy to be a stud. And that's clearly just absolutely not true. You know, both AB and Juju were studs. And okay, yes, not every team's going to throw the ball 700 times like the Steelers did that year. But it just shows the possibility of it actually happening. I think Sutton is a beast of a human being, able enough to do that, where now there's a lot of people in the middle of the field to take coverage away from Sutton who can go deep down. So, oh, and look, Dustin, I don't know if you can see the chat. Dustin sent you another one, Brian.
I got it.
I wasn't sure if you were looking. I got you, buddy.
There's lots of teams out there that can, like, sustain two receivers, though, like Julio and Roddy, like they're like Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne. I get happy.
Julio and who?
Like
Julio and who?
Julio and Roddy White. Like they were both over. They were both over 1,200 yards, 2 years in a row. So like it can happen.
I don't think Denver's going to be that much of a passing offense, but still, now that they have to take nothing away from Philip Lindsay, they have Melvin Gordon now, which is clearly an upgrade, and now they have Fant in his second year. And KJ Hamler, who can take the roof off. That's the right guy, right? Yes, because Hill went to. Too many people have two similar names this year. It's really just thrown me off. I think that offense can be very efficient, which I think is just as good as volume sometimes. And that's assuming Drew Lock doesn't suck, to be fair. And I don't think he will. So sorry, Bobby, who's the one person we know that just hates Drew Lock. So like, I feel like we have to say that every single time we say something nice about Drew Lock. So, yeah, I'm on board the Sutton train. Does anyone have anything else to say about Sutton? Or, Bill, you unmuted. Are you about to blast Drew Lock? Is that what's going to happen?
I think Bobby and I are – I'm probably lean more the same way as Bobby when it comes to Lock. I think that everybody's argument for Lock is that his – it's because of all the parts on the offense. And I rarely hear anything good specifically said about Lock. So, yes, I get it in like a redraft. But for Dynasty, I mean – Rocky and I've had this conversation, but I'm not going to spend something on a quarterback that could end up being worth zero at the end of the year. I still feel that's in his range of outcomes. So, I mean, I just don't think his upside's high enough for me to wager on him. So I think that people are getting a little too excited about what's around him, and I just haven't seen it yet. So I'm not willing to put my money on him, I guess.
All right, but Bill, is there anyone that you are going after these days?
So I've made some offers for Preston Williams. I know I traded him to you and traded X3, but I was throwing out seconds to most of my leagues, and I got a few takers about a month ago. So I was pretty happy to add him. I just think that what he did as a rookie was pretty impressive before he got hurt. So I mean, he was basically the go-to as a rookie at the beginning of the season, which was pretty incredible. So, he's kind of been my target this offseason.
I pulled up your team real fast. I'm trying to see if there's anything I want to – someone else talk while I check over Bill's team to see if I can give him Preston Williams back at a larger price than – I don't even remember what he sold him to me for, so it doesn't really matter.
210.
Well, they'll definitely take a better price than that.
Well, the whole conversation about the Denver offense is interesting, right? Because, I mean, yes, I think there are certainly some questions about Drew Lock and what, you know, I mean, we've only seen him play five games, really. And in those five games, I mean, he had one game statistically that was pretty nice fantasy wise, but the other games he was more game manager type. I don't necessarily worry so much about Cortland Sutton specifically or Noah Fant, to be honest. I think that they both can produce in this offense kind of the way that we expect them to. It's the other ancillary pieces, I guess, that I'm a little bit concerned about. Judy, Hamler, you know, will they get some touches? Yeah, of course. I mean, that's why they bring those guys in. But, I still think Cortland Sutton and Noah Fant in the passing game, and then Melvin Gordon, and that's the other thing here that I think a lot of people miss, and that will help Drew Lock and his fantasy production, is dumping the ball off to Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon is perennially underrated every single season. Yes, he has some injury issues. He's been hurt late in the year multiple times. So that factors into what people feel about him because he's not available during the most important games of the season for fantasy, you know, fantasy owners. So, or managers. So, I mean, but when he's out there, he produces, and I think he's going to produce in this offense as well. So, you know, I do think that this offense takes a pretty nice leap this year, and I think Drew Lock will benefit some from that. Now, the question is can he stay out of his own way? That's the question for me, because I'm not 100% sold on the talent. I took him in the fishbowl, so is what it is. I mean, I'm sold enough to take him there, but, you know, in Dynasty, I'm just not sure if the consistency will be there year to year, but you know, we're going to find out because they've surrounded him with a bunch of weapons.
Yeah, and I get what Bill's saying, but I mean, we only have, and I think you made a good, I mean, we only have a 5-game sample size, so it's basically all projection with Locke. And just, again, Bill said we're basing it on the weapons, but what else, we don't have a lot else to base it on, other than his college career and 5 games in the NFL. So I think, I've said this before, I think it's going to be hard for him to be, even if he's not a great quarterback, it's going to be hard for him to be a bad fantasy quarterback with Melvin Gordon, Jerry Jeudy, Courtland Sutton, Noah Fant. That's why I don't mind investing in him, because I don't see him losing the starting job this year. He's just got too many weapons that it's going to be hard not to succeed, at least on some level.
Well, and I think, too, something that doesn't get spoken about a lot is Pat Shurmur coming in to be the offensive coordinator. I mean, obviously, his fingerprints were all over the draft with Jeudy and Hamler and even Albert O being drafted to the team. And, you know, we could look at it maybe as a discount version of when Sean McVay went to L.A. and kind of turned Jared Goff from a guy who we all swore couldn't play to a guy who was a good fantasy contributor. And I kind of think we are going to see something similar from Drew Lock. You know, I'm not saying that Pat Shurmur, Sean McVay, but the guy has been a good offensive coordinator wherever he's been. Head coach, not so much, but offensive coordinator, he's been good. So I expect to see, I can't imagine Drew Lock being worthless by the end of the season. You know, maybe he's not, you know, a top 10 guy, which in some super flex drafts he's being drafted as, but, you know, I can't imagine him just not being at least somewhat relevant next year.
Anyone else have a guy to go after now that we're sitting here ragging on the Denver offense enough?
I mean, I did just trade him in TA3 this week. So, you know,
you want to just get to that?
Sure. I mean, we can. Brian, you want to hit us with the draw?
Trade addicts, trade.
Ooh, feels so good.
Missed that.
I miss it too. So I'm blowing my team up. Everyone knows the TA scoring already. I'm not going to get into that.
12 team superflex PPR tight end premium, 1.75 points for tight end receptions and 0.05 points for return yards. Don't take my job away from me, Dustin. You've been here for like 39 minutes and 24 seconds. Just, you know your role, buddy.
And Dustin, not all of us are in Trade Addicts League, so sometimes we need refreshers on the scoring.
Oh, Josh is hurt.
I'm sorry, Josh. Okay. I still love you.
I love you too.
So I gave up Drew Lock and Julian Edelman, and I got Jalen Hurts, a 21 first, a 21 second, and a 21 third. What do you guys think?
I mean, it's fine.
Yeah. I mean, we can pretty much just cross out Edelman for a third these days because who cares about either of them? Sorry, Julian Edelman, if you're listening, because I know you do. So Drew Lock for Jalen Hurts and a first and a second.
And a second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there a, like, are they, is the picks belong to like a team that's an extreme one way or the other?
I feel good about the first and the second being top half of the league picks.
The second belongs to Bill. I just need to point that out. So he is in fact staying.
I am I take no offense. I completely blew that up. So
I know,
yeah,
but it's like, fun to point it out and give everyone a giggle. That's my real goal of all of this.
Yeah.
And sorry, Stoops, I love you, but the first is Stoops is first.
Well, Stoops was in the second dispersal. Chance dispersal, so I don't know if his team is awful like it used to be. Sorry, Stoops.
I mean, he has Kyler and then Haskins and Rivers. And he has Josh Jacobs and then Darrington Evans as his number two running back. Then he has Sutton and Kirk and Slayton. And then he has Ertz. So I feel
his team's not great.
Yeah, and so I feel good. 202 at worst. So
yeah, I mean, I feel good about it. I'm rebuilding the team. I was middle of the road, so I just kind of.
I don't hate that at all, to be honest with you. Like, you know my feelings with Locke. So I mean, I think that's fine. I mean, I don't advocate moving Locke, you know, especially if you got him for a second round pick last year and you just want to roll the dice, you know what I mean? And just hope he hits. Like, I'm not going to tell you to do that because if I got him for a second round pick last year, I'm not trading him probably until the season starts, especially if he like starts to hit. But, no, I like that trade. I think that's a good enough payment that would make me want to make that move.
Yeah, I think Locke for first and second is not bad, and I told Dustin this. I don't see a ton of worth in Hurts. I still have no idea what they're doing with him, if he's going to be Taysom Hill or what. Even if he is, I don't care. So, but yeah, I don't mind a first and second for Locke. I'm not sure what to do with Hurts. Maybe you can trade him if Wentz gets hurt again and he pops a little bit. But a first and a second's not bad now.
The DLF trade analyzer has it with the package adjustment 360 on the package side and 357 on the Locke and Edelman side. So it's 3 point difference with the package adjustment. So, you know, it's right there.
Okay. So we're all nice and happy about that trade. So we might as well just go into the next one, right? So Dustin, it's your trade again. So you might as well just read it off again since you're trying to take my job away from me. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have Rocky that always has to steal the show on mine. So I, you know, have to go on other people's. So I gave up Darius Geis, Derrick Henry, and DeSean Jackson. I got Chase Edmonds, Devontae Parker, Irv Smith, a 21 first and a 21 second.
All right, so now we can say this first is going to be later because Ben, I think, came in second last year. I think he lost the championship.
His team is so good.
He's one of those a-holes that was like, I'm going to go young and get every 2020 first. Hit on all of his 2019 young guys and then no, 2018 young guys, hit on all the 2019 young guys and just –
his
team, Lamar, Mahomes, has like everybody. It's ridiculous. So yeah,
and
we might.
And that's why I blew my team up.
Yeah. So yeah, that's going to be a late first. The second, I don't know, Rocky. How's that pick going to be?
Is that my second?
Yeah,
that's going to be late.
No. Since half the team is half the league is rebuilding. I mean, I don't know if
that's tough of a statement. In the middle, kind of retooling, and I started leaning towards going for this year. Hopefully, there is it this year. But yeah, so I think my team's good enough. It's at least going to be a 9 to 12 range. We'll see.
I disagree, but anyways. So what do you guys think of the trade? I mean, it's a late first, mid to late second, Edmonds, Parker, and Irv for Geis, Henry, and DeSean.
I wasn't listening again, so someone else go.
I like the trade. I mean, I don't love any of those people. I mean, Henry's great for this year, but you're rebuilding, so, you know, I don't know what he has beyond 2020. I'm not as high on Geis as Har is, for example. That offense, you know, I don't know what they're going to be doing. So it all depends on Haskins. And so I don't think you gave that much up and you get a lot of nice pieces back. Parker's still young-ish and, you get Irv, you get the picks. I like Irv a lot, especially in 1.75 tight end premium. It might not be this year, but you don't care about this year. So, I'm not sure I mentioned all the pieces, but I like the trade overall.
Yeah, I talked about Irv a lot last week with Matt and John. And then the second we signed off, I ended up trading in Capitalist Pigs 1. Well, I guess it doesn't really matter because there was no running backs involved, that it's points per carry. But I traded Kittle and Landry for Irv Smith and Chris Godwin. So, nice. Yeah, so I was happy to get Irv just because, and Matt knew exactly what he was doing because I just kept talking about how much I liked Irv. So he's like, okay, I'll send him Irv. So yeah, wanting to get rid of Henry, I think you got more than enough back because at this point you're not getting anything for DeSean Jackson. And Darius Geis, I mean, you have to find the right guy to sell Geis to. Like, you probably should have tried that with Brian first. Because,
he tried.
Oh, there you go. Way to let him down, Brian. But like, it takes the right person to want to pay anything for Geis. But like, I got him in SFB because, man, if he's healthy with how little you pay for him, he's just so damn good. But you, whatever, man. Parker, whether, even if he doesn't do it again, first of all, we were talking about Preston Williams before. He's not coming back. If the season starts on time, he's not coming back at 100% at all. And one of the biggest arguments besides, you know, the magical 50-year breakout is Preston Williams was the guy there, but he's not going to be at first. So, man, 2 weeks in after Devontae Parker has 200-yard games, I'm flipping the hell out of that guy. But to get Chase Edmonds, Irv Smith, a first and a second for Derrick Henry, pretty much, that's awesome. I
love Edmonds, though, too. Like, I've been buying him everywhere. I tweeted out about I think he's actually going to have a decent amount of workload in Arizona. He's, as long as he can stay healthy, I actually feel really confident in Edmonds.
Yeah, and I recall somebody posted something on Twitter about him, and they were showing about how much usage he got even when Drake was playing in the second half of the season. And he actually got most of the receptions from the backfield.
That's interesting.
So I think I agree. I think he will be getting more usage than what people expect.
Yeah, I wonder what would have happened if he didn't get hurt, like after DJ like really went down. Yeah. But I guess that's part of the, especially playing running back these days. But I'm staring at this trade, and yes, I like it for you, Dustin. But man, if I'm Ben, I know what my team is like and how young it is. I would easily give all of this up for Derrick Henry, like so easily. And plus, he's getting Geis, who, I mean, let's face it, the dude's still really young. Even if he doesn't come back this year, I think he'll keep finding himself on a roster. So he can still, like, if he stays healthy, even if he doesn't do well, I still think he's going to be worth a dynasty roster spot. So man, we need to get some bad trades in one of our Trade Addicts leagues eventually. So we could just be like, no, this is awful. What the hell were you thinking? Like all this time, we're just like, no, that's good. I could see that. And I feel like that just makes for bad podcasting.
I was going to call you guys out. I've made 5 of the last 6 trades in TA3. So, you know,
Brian keeps rejecting mine. Well, I kept trying to give him Kelsey forever, and he didn't want to give me Allen Robinson and Tyler Boyd, so I had to move on, and I had to sell him to someone else. But I try, man, I try. I tried to get DK Metcalf off Fugazi, and he's like, I appreciate it, but no thanks, giving me absolutely nothing. So I'm like, all right, no, not going to happen. That's fine. And then I stare at my team, and like, I honestly have no idea what to do. Like, I have so many rookie wide receivers, and I'm just like, I guess I don't know. But then I have like Mike Evans, and who the hell is on my team? Let's look. Oh, that's right. I have 3 quarterbacks because I took a quarterback just because it seemed like the right value. And I tried to give Brian Josh Allen, and he's like, no, I just don't trust Allen. I get it. Why do you think I was trying to trade him? But still, Brian is a good team and only has 1 quarterback.
I've been trying to sell him Ben a whole bunch, but like, you know.
Yep.
Cool.
It's cool story. It's the one quarterback, but yes, I only have the one.
Should probably trade for another one with a guy that has 3 quarterbacks and is sending you offers all the time.
I tried to trade him one. Bill and I were working on a trade at one point, like several months ago, with quarterbacks, but it didn't work
Daniel
out.
Daniel Jones, so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you should.
I have
that
so
guy.
Many Daniel Jones share. If Daniel Jones is bad, I'm so screwed. And like, I have a lot of Josh Allen shares. I didn't even mean for it to happen. It's just, I keep feeling like, all right, well, I have a guy that's borderline top of the second tier. Let me just go down in the lower of the second tier and gain some capital on top of it. And it just always ended up being Daniel Jones or Josh Allen.
I mean, that makes sense though, right? Those are the two guys that fell in the draft and all that, and their values were lower for being first round picks. So, I mean, getting stuck with those guys, most of the time you probably paid less than most for their quarterback. So, good job.
Yeah, thanks. There you go. I like when people say nice things about what things I do.
I think Rocky has an announcement. I think there's a siren in TA3 right now.
Ooh, what just happened?
On air trade.
All right, let's hear it.
Not a real major trade, but Dustin threw it to me before the show. It's Mark Ingram and Emmanuel Sanders for 2021 second and 2021 thirds.
I mean, I was going to accept this other one, but you know.
Were you really?
No.
Brian doesn't trade. What are you talking about?
He got so upset for a second.
No. That one works for you too. I mean, this is a good deal for both of you guys.
This is the Shane Manila. I don't even know what word to throw after that factor spiral where Dustin's been trying to sell Ingram and Sanders so bad, where to finally like every sells, you know, offer to every team didn't work. Right. A little less. Every team didn't work. Just please give me anything. Seconds and thirds. Fine. I'll take it.
Yeah, I figured I'd do it to have an on-air trade for the show. He's been bugging me. I wasn't sure I wanted to give up the second for either of them, but what the hell?
I think they'll both be good. I'm still
you just
in
made
the
that pick of yours.
That
I have wait.
Ingram's going to score touchdowns,
and I think the second's Dustin's, which is going to be high, which worries me even more. But
yeah, especially now that he made his team even worse.
Yes.
That big smile on Dustin's face right now.
Anybody want Higby or Ebron? You know, let's go. Big Ben, let's do it.
Brian,
you need a quarterback.
Yes. What?
Huh?
You want Big Ben?
He's talking about
selling Big Ben forever. I've been trying to get his first, and he's not.
He's your quarterback.
Oh, nobody's getting first for Big Ben. Come on.
No, wasn't straight up. I was offering other pieces too.
He's the team I root for's quarterback. He's not my quarterback.
Ooh, big distinction right there.
Saquon Barkley, however, is my running back. I do not own him. I mean, I manage roster him everywhere, but I don't. I mean, he's not mine, but yeah.
You wish he was?
Sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, he's like, slightly
like,
better.
No, consensually, heart-to-heart, yours.
He's a good dude.
He's slightly better than Todd Gurley. That's what Madden said, not me.
I was leaving the silence there because I wanted everyone to hear Brian rolling his eyes. Because I heard it. I didn't have to look at the screen. I heard it happening.
Brian, you just go get Fugazi to trade you Barkley and TA3 and call it good.
He won't. Split up. I've tried.
I know.
Everything. I pretty much offered to sell my entire team. And
wait, hold on. So I didn't even realize because I just, like I said, I sent everybody a trade for DK and I didn't even really think about it. So I did send one to Fugazi. What do you think about this? I sent Mike Evans and Hayden Hurst because Fugazi won the league. So he's going to try and do that again for DK Metcalf, Steven Sims, and his 21 first.
Evans
and Hayden Hurst for Metcalf, right. Steven Sims, and a 21 first.
Yeah, I mean, he needs a tight end.
It's on his side, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
Sims is not really, you know, it's like he's what, a third or fourth, like really in value. Like Evans is worth more than DK and Hurst in a tight end premium when he doesn't have a tight end. Like his tight end one is Kyle Rudolph. Like, okay. I think it makes sense for him to do it.
And since this podcast is a pro Irv Smith podcast, we clearly know that Kyle Rudolph is just trash now.
I mean, it makes sense for him to do it.
Right. Just because I know everyone listens to the show, Fugazi, let's do it. Let's get it done.
The only problem is he doesn't trade unless it's late in the season and he's going for the championship. So
it's kind of smart. I mean, we don't like smart. Trading our whole team in the offseason.
Damn straight. That's when you do it. When it's fun to do it. Who cares about winning, right? It's about having the prettiest roster. That's what I've always been saying. You guys just need to start listening to me more often.
I mean, he's got Saquon, McCaffrey, and Chubb. Like, he's got a pretty roster, so he doesn't need to trade. But he should. That's a good deal for him.
Yes, I was about to say, yes, he does, right here. Because I don't care about winning this league. I just want to have the prettiest roster, because I know I'm never going to win a league I run, so I might as well just look nice while I'm losing.
Yeah, I think that's a trade he should do, and that first is going to be late, too, so why not?
Okay, so I want to talk about tight ends for a second. now that I admitted my weird SFB beginning of drafting two tight ends, and now I'm setting out tight ends because Fugazi just won a league without having them, even though it is a tight end premium. Is there, man, like, does we do 1.75 in Trade Addicts leagues? Is that, I know it's enough to make Brian care, but do you think it really makes that big of a difference? Is there something that really makes you care more than just like saying, oh, I'm going to go get Kelsey or Kittle? Because, I mean, you could do that when there's no premium. Like,
I don't actually think it does really anything except for those top guys. It just makes them better, but it doesn't really do much for the position. Like everyone's still starting pick, unless you have one of the top guys, you're still all picking from the same tier of just at tight end. And I don't think like it's really changing that very much.
Well, it's not really meant to change within tight ends. It's to try and make you feel less gross having to start one if you don't have one of the main guys. Like, are we talking about Hayden Hurst in a non-tight ends premium league? Are we talking about Kyle Rudolph or Irv Smith? Maybe Irv Smith, just because I love athletic guys and stuff like that. But, like, man, like, I'm trying to... I've been going outside my comfort zone lately, and I've been paying up for running backs and paying up for tight ends just because I... You know, you do the same thing over and over again. It just gets a little boring. So I'm trying to do something a little new, and I still feel gross about it. So I'm wondering, like, I will never give in to two tight ends. I think it's awful. So, and man, like, I don't even know if I necessarily believed it with the SFB, the Scott Fishbowl draft, or if just so many people just said tight ends are awesome, or like the high end tight ends are awesome. So I just did it anyway. But like, is there a format that you, a scoring system that you would realistically see? Like, cause I mean, we're seeing like 2 points per reception, which at some point is getting ridiculous where just Kelsey's going to be the 101 or Kittle. But is there something where it would make you care about this mid tier of tight ends? Let me say.
I'm in a league with, which I know you just said you don't like, two tight ends and 2.0. PPR.
Oh my God, that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
And so yeah, with the two PPR especially, that makes you care. But I do think the 1.75 does help a little to make even the mid-tier guys more viable flexes. I mean, if you get like, you know, 3 for 50, you're getting like 10 points. So, I mean, if you get a 10-point week out of a flex, that's not a bad week. So, but yeah, that 2.0 and two tight end kind of makes every tight end super valuable no matter what. So
has anyone played in consistently? Because I know SFB does do the points per first down, but I haven't played in another league that does that. Has anyone played in a league for more than one season with that in general? Yeah. Just to know if that affects scoring that much. Everyone's saying yes, I guess.
No. Yeah.
That's so, something I think.
I was listening to a pod where Scott said that it's pretty much just volume. Like that, I mean, you can look at like what their volume is, and still the scoring, it pretty much just reflects that. So, from what I understand, it doesn't have a huge difference. Maybe, you know, within a for wide receivers, it may, but I don't think for tight ends, it's making a huge difference compared to just like, you know, receptions.
Would you guys consider starting a league that did not have a starting tight end requirement?
I am in a league like that.
I commission a league like that.
And what was your thought behind it? Was just that tight ends suck? Let's just not do that. No, or...
actually, the whole thing is that the entire league, the league is off flexes.
That's what I was going to ask. Or is every position like that?
Yeah. You don't even technically have to start. It is super flex, but technically you don't even have to start a quarterback. So it's, it's 10 flexes. And we did do the 1.75 tight end premium to try and make them a little more valuable. I'm wondering if maybe we should have done 2.0 to make them, you know, because when you don't need to start a tight end, you really need a hefty premium to get people to want to start tight end. So
yeah, like at this point, like I'm still thrilled to have Irv Smith or Jonnu Smith or anyone with the last name Smith, apparently. And if I didn't have to start a tight end at all, those guys would not be on my radar.
Right.
Yeah, so I started a 2.0 tight end league this offseason, and like, well, just looking at scoring, like overall, Kelsey was the number 15 scorer in points per game. I don't think it really, like, it's 2.0 and outside the top guys, I'm still just kind of punting tight end. Like, I just don't really care. Like, you know, and number two tight end in a points per game was Kittle at overall 18. So, you know, two top 20 guys, but really outside that, it didn't change it very much, you know, and it's just going to continue to broaden the gap between the position, but it's not going to really make them more startable outside the top guys. Regardless, it's just going to push those top guys just further away from the tiers than anything else.
Yeah. I mean, that's always going to happen. It's funny. I, at least like when I'm at work and someone, like, you ask someone, why do you do this? And they say, well, it's just the way it's always been done. Like, I literally cringe when I hear that phrase, but like keeping that starting tight end requirement, like, no, we've all that's the way it's supposed to be done. Like, for some reason, unless you do what Rocky did and make it like all zeros, like, you know, I can't picture not having to start a tight end. And
yeah, the league I'm in is, it's 0.5 PPR. So it's, you know, tight ends have absolutely no value. I mean, unless you have one of those studs, but you do have all the other starting positions. So it's like, you know, it's a super, or it's a 2 QB, you know, you have to start 2 running backs, 3 wide receivers, and then there's like 4 flex or something like that. But only the studs, or like when Higbee was on fire last year, did they even make a starting lineup. So, yeah, it's an interesting dynamic. And, you know, the value for those, like, you see really good names on the waiver wire that you would never see in any other league.
I can't imagine playing in a fantasy league where George Kittle doesn't matter at all. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, I'm okay with the flex. Yeah. I think the flex idea is okay. But, like, I mean, there are some guys at the top end of that position. And look, the point that everybody's making is extremely valid and correct in saying that those top end guys are where that advantage lies. And it does make them matter more. It makes them matter more when you're comparing the top end talent at the other positions. But within the position, I heard Dustin say it, and I'm not sure. One of the other guys said it too, I think. But it's just going to widen that gap between those high end tight ends and, you know, the tight end 7 or whatever. So, but I can't imagine playing in a league where, I mean, you know, George Kittle is a star in the National Football League. Travis Kelce's a star. You know, Mark Andrews last year he's not a star yet, but he's on his way, I think. You know, I can't imagine playing in a fantasy league where those guys aren't, it's like, oh, George Kittle had 200 yards and 3 touchdowns today and stiff-armed the guy halfway through the turf. Who cares? Like, I care. Sorry. You know, so, you know, I don't necessarily love that idea as far as removing the position altogether. I'm fine with making all, you know, having every position be flex. In fact, I think that would be pretty damn interesting. But yeah, I like some of those guys too much and appreciate the way they play football too much. You know, I mean, if we're talking about traditional and we're talking about Mark Bruner, do you guys even know who the hell Mark Bruner is? Okay, so if you're talking about so Mark Bruner played for the Steelers like before Heath Miller, like
before I was watching, yeah.
So, but I mean, if we're talking about that type of tight end, like blocking tight end, where there's no, I mean, the game has evolved so much with the tight end position too in the passing game that, you know, those guys are offensive weapons. So it would be, in my opinion, it'd be a mistake to leave them out of fantasy scoring.
Yeah, I mean, tight end is just one of those things, as I mean, all you guys have said, if you're not getting the top, you know, 3 or 4 guys, I mean, this year, every startup I've done, I've just gone young tight end later on and just stockpiled 4 or 5 of those guys and just hope that I, you know, hit on the next Mark Andrews or George Kittle from a couple of years ago, because really that's kind of where the value is at this point, is trying to figure out who the next guy is going to be, you know, instead of kind of spending up early. I mean, Bill runs the Superflex Army Leagues, and he started Superflex Army 2 this year. I mean, I drafted Gerald Everett, Mike Gesicki, Ian Thomas, like, and just hoping that those, you know, those type of guys, or Irv Smith, who we've said, you know, 100 times already on this episode, guys like that hit. And, you know, because, you know, I think Brian said it, it just widens the gap between the top three or four guys and those guys that are, you know, 12 through 18 or 12 through 20. So
fun talk.
Yeah, seriously, someone come up with something to say. I brought up the tight end stuff out of nowhere. Someone else has to come up with something now.
All right, I got a topic.
Go for it.
So this was a question that was asked to me, and I'm not going to spill too much beans because it may end up being some type of article eventually, not by me. not writing stuff, man. But I have a question about James Conner. So obviously, you know, I mean, COVID and the Rona and all this garbage that we're dealing with right now, and the questions about what the season's going to look like. Is there going to be a season? A guy like James Conner, who has a pre-existing medical condition, right? So the guy has kicked the shit out of cancer, which is amazing. And everybody knows that story. But a guy like that, I mean, are you concerned about that? I mean, because if there's an uptick per se in Pittsburgh, in Allegheny County, where all of the Steelers facilities are, in the stadium and the city and all of that, and, you know, it's something like what we've been seeing in Florida and down south and different things right now. Like, if that uptick comes up north and happens in that area, I mean, is James Conner even going to play? Like, is he, you know, do you have to have kind of a contingency plan in place with some of these guys that might have pre-existing medical conditions? We don't know a ton of the, I mean, there may be guys that we have no idea that have pre-existing medical conditions, but, you know, that's one that's just very obvious. So, I mean, are we making contingency plans on our rosters for those types of guys?
Yeah, you probably should. I mean, I haven't been, but that's a really good point. I hadn't even thought about that. But yeah, I obviously knew the Conner story. And I think I recently, within the last month, found out too, Mark Andrews has diabetes, which is also a major, you know, possible complication with COVID. So I think if you do own those guys, anybody you are aware of, I think it makes a lot of sense. I haven't been, but now that you bring it up, I probably should be. So I think it's a really good point.
Well, I don't think there's specific players, honestly, that really come to mind with this, but I just think, like, I brought up, I think it was this show last week, who the hell knows anymore what show I talk on, but, like, I think there needs to be a case for expanding rosters going, like, if the season happens, both in the NFL and for Dynasty, because like, what happens, like, if half a team ends up with positives, they're not going to cancel a game. They're going to find people to send out there. So, I mean, like, I think there's going to be a lot of backups on rosters, or need to be a lot of backups on rosters. So, 100%, I didn't stop to think about specific players. It was more the positions. Like, no, this was last week here, because I know, like, John and I were talking about, like, every single backup quarterback should probably be owned at this point. Or, you know, at this point, like, tight ends, like, all the onesie positions, like, a lot more people need to be owned, because that's one dude. Like, if one wide receiver is gone, that's not the biggest deal in the world. Your quarterback's, you know, positive. He's out for a few weeks. That changes things. So that's my case for expanding rosters, is that, yes, I think almost every single backup, every single, almost any player that's touched the ball in the NFL, I feel like should probably be on a dynasty roster at some point.
Another issue with this too is, and then we're not really, I think, in the fantasy community talking a lot about, is the possibility of opt-outs. And there's not, I don't know if there's a way you can really plan for it, but you're going to see it. I mean, it's happening in every other sport, in basketball and baseball. Guys are just opting not to play because of this. And that's going to shape, if the NFL plays, that's going to shape fantasy. I mean, if, you know, especially some of these guys are considering holding out. If Cook just says, oh, I'm going to opt out because of COVID, then you're screwed. So, like I said, I'm not sure what you can do to prepare for that. I mean, I guess expanded rosters might help some with that too. But if you have a star opt out, you're in big trouble.
Yeah, Rocky kind of stole my thunder. I was going to talk about the opt outs because, I mean, you're seeing it a lot, especially in the MLB right now, and it's even players that have pregnant wives, you know, and you're starting to see them saying, I'm not going to play. I'm not going to, you know, expose my wife and newborn child to the possibility of getting this. So, yeah, I mean, I agree with you, Russ. I think rosters do need to expand. And I think we also, if we're in leagues that don't have IR, maybe have limited IR, maybe dropping a few more IR spots in there to kind of help out with this. But it's going to be, this is something that we've never seen before. So it's going to be kind of hard to prepare your team, you know, with just kind of a million possibilities that could happen for individual players. I mean, Brian, you were talking about Allegheny County. I'm on the other side of the state in Montgomery County, which has had the highest amount of COVID cases in the state of Pennsylvania. And that's also where the Philadelphia Eagles facilities are. So, you know, again, you're getting into a spot where guys are flying in from all over the country to meet in one place, which, you know, and we can talk about teams that are based in Texas and Florida who also seen spikes, and now they're coming into this area where there are a lot of cases. It's just, I mean, maybe you think more this year about trading that stud for two or three lesser tier guys to kind of build up that depth, but it's going to be kind of hard to predict.
Yeah, the depth is something that, I mean, you're definitely probably going to be rewarded this year. Like what Rock was saying about the, like Dalvin holding out, that's kind of like where my, I guess, what I'm envisioning issues is those guys who are at the end of their rookie contracts. I don't know how they're going to handle it, but like, let's say if you opt out, it just voids that year that you're in. You know, because the teams, like in a lot of contracts, teams don't want to get stuck for an older player, like if it's a veteran contract. So if that's how it's also handled with the rookies, you might see a lot of these fourth-year running backs opting out because they don't want to play for $1 million this year, you know. And so until we get a better idea of kind of how things are going to get handled, I mean, I'm not making too many decisions. I mean, I think Har bringing up the health, I mean, that's something that we can – educate ourselves about the players and, you know, find out if they do have issues that could be affected by the coronavirus. I think that's the only thing we can really make decisions with right now. I mean, anything beyond that is just kind of guessing and something that we have no idea about. So I'm not going to be trading studs for lesser players. I'm not going to be doing anything like that just because I don't know. But if I hear that, you know, they're voiding their contracts if they opt out, you know, or at least voiding that year, then I'm going to get really concerned, like with Kamara, or, you know, Mostert might hold out because of that. Or there's guys like that, that, you know, just aren't making a lot of money. You know, that's where my concern probably is more than anything else.
First of all, Bill, I'm ashamed that you put Kamar and Mostert in the same sentence, but
you're welcome.
Yeah. But yeah, this is such a kind of tricky prospect to navigate through because we really don't know what a lot of these players are going to do. And I think we need to maybe deep dive. I kind of call this the Bruce Arians paradox. I mean, he made a joke, even though I think he was semi-serious, about having a third quarterback off-site kind of in isolation somewhere in case his, you know, first two guys, you know, get COVID or give each other COVID. He has a quarterback who knows the system, who's kind of been, I guess, going through practices on Zoom and stuff like that, ready and healthy. I mean, you know, as players, we might have to do a deeper dive into how each of these teams are thinking about handling this and seeing if teams are doing stuff like stashing a quarterback away somewhere else and maybe picking up that guy, you know, if you, especially if you have the starter for that team. And yeah, it's going to be an interesting season.
So quick shout out before we move on to AJ Dundas, otherwise known as Duke Marriott. If you play in enough leagues, you've probably run across him. He's one of my DLFS guys. So he's the one that kind of started this conversation and this thought process in my mind today. So appreciate you, dude.
All right. Does anyone else have anything they actually want to talk about? A lot of head shaking no's and silences. So I guess that is, I'm not tired yet, and we didn't even have a show sheet, so you guys just really are throwing me for a loop right here. I don't know what to say anymore. But
I
thank
just
you.
It was your bedtime, you know? Like, this is usually the time you were like,
any time is my bedtime, man. You know, the second we stop talking, I'm going upstairs and hitting the bed. But man, I've been rewatching Archer lately. I'm up to season 7 already. No, 8. I just got up to the Dreamland one.
If you don't, never seen it.
Oh, Archer's so damn funny.
Me neither.
It's so good. It is so well written. It is just so funny. I'm a very big fan of it. So yeah, I'll go watch an episode or two of that and then pass out. But we are at that point where we are going to say goodbye. There are way too many people here on. So I'm going to let first Josh and Bill, you know, I'm going to assume if they listen to our show, they are not. Brian, what are you doing? You're freaking me the hell out.
It's okay, man.
If they're listening to us, they better damn well listen to the rest of the DAP network. But just take a second, talk about the fantasy timeline, say why it's one of the best damn shows out there, and then drop all your stuff so they can find you on the Twitters.
All right. So Bill and I, we are co-hosts of the Fantasy Timeline. We scour Twitter. We put your stuff up there. We talk about it. We bring cool guests like Russ, Brian, Rocky, and Dustin, along with many others.
And we have Bobby Koch this week.
We have Bobby Koch this week. Finally, our schedules have kind of missed each other, so I'm glad we finally were able to get him on. We're the last of the DAP network to get him on. But yeah, it's 9 o'clock Eastern. Every Wednesday, we go live on YouTube. So if you are watching this, just come to the same place and watch us. It's just a lot of fun. We have a good time. Bill uses his big brain, and then I kind of just come in there and take a lot of credit. So if you like having a little bit of fun and doing a little bit of fantasy, come watch us, and you'll have a good time.
Isn't that awesome, Josh? Just be like being the guy that talks the most, but the other guy's the smart guy, but you still get to take credit because people just remember you because you talk more.
Yeah, it's awesome. Bill likes to be quiet and not flex his big brain. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. I'll just talk a lot and then steal your stuff. And, you know, I always give him credit though, because I'm always like, you know, I'm like right now, there are 5 really smart fantasy guys and me. And that's cool. Like I'm cool with being and me, and you know, I'll take credit when one of you guys comes up with some smart stuff.
You're the best damn and me in this chat right now.
Yes.
100.
Okay, but Josh is at Real Fantasy TL and Bill is at Super Dupaflex. The show is at Fantasy Timeline on the Twitters. Go follow all of them. Subscribe to the DAP Network and to the Fantasy Timeline, both. Just get us those downloads. That's what we care about. We don't care if you listen. Just give us those damn numbers. Yeah. It mirrors. It's so annoying.
Yeah.
StreamYard. I do it wrong every single damn time. Bill's flexing his gigantic sticker and mug, which we'll get to in a few minutes. But go follow them. Go listen to them. Man, Bill went shopping. Rocky, Dustin, take a second. Tell them people's listening out there why Dynasty Junkies is the new 101 of the DAP network.
I'll let Rocky go. You know, he refers to himself as Junkie Number One, and you know, he's kind of the star of the show. So Rocky, go ahead and take us away.
Okay. Yeah. Dynasty Junkies. We cover the gamut of Dynasty. We do commish stuff. We find people trades. We talk Dynasty strategy. And we have a lot of great guests on. We've had Ryan McDowell, JJ Zacharyson, Scott Fish, and And we have me and Dustin on there, of course, which is the most important thing. So, but definitely give us a listen, give us a follow at Dynasty Junkies, and I'm at Dynasty FF Addict. Dustin's at Dynasty Junkie FF. It's a good show. We got the Open Bar guys coming up this week. Gabe and J Mike are going to be on, so it should be another good one.
And so, Rocky, we're on the DAP network right now. We're on the Trade Addicts right now. And we talk about great guests, and you didn't even mention
that. Not even one of us.
Yeah, you didn't even mention Brian or any of the Timeline guys. Like,
but let's be honest. If we're going to get upstaged by anybody, JJ and Ryan and Scott Fish make it okay.
Yes, correct.
That goes without saying. These are the four top guests we've had. But
Oh, man.
Love you all. Okay. But if you were a patron of our show and watching us live stream or watching the YouTube stream afterwards, you could have seen Bill flashing all of the wonderful and awesome stuff you can get at ffpodshirts.storenv.com, where you can get stuff for all of our shows individually, the DAP Network stuff. I'm wearing my Stay Sexy and Super Flexy, Super Flex, Super Show shirt, which was going to be in honor of Brian, but he's here. So, I mean, that failed a little bit. Dynasty Diagnostic, Devi Marketplace, Dynasty Game Night, Coast to Coast Scouting. I made a shirt for at the Casey Kasem because she's rad as hell. I think there's more stuff that I just can't remember. Anyone who's too lazy to make their own stuff, I say yes and I throw it
top
in
shelf.
Ours. Top Shelf, DFF, we have their sticker up there. We used to do the proceeds going to Fantasy Cares, but Scott is a selfish jerk these days and is not sharing the link to donate to Fantasy Cares anymore. So I didn't run this by Brian because he's on his hiatus, so I was giving him time, but I'm going to do it anyway. So what I think we're going to do is, like, every other month, we're going to pick a new charity, and the proceeds to the FF Pod shirts and the bracelets, which we'll get to soon, are going to go to a specific charity. And since Brian technically is on hiatus, I'm going to choose, and I'm going to go with the Colorectal Cancer Alliance, which is clearly something close to me. If you follow me on Twitter, I am, holy shit, seven years to the day.
You're a survivor. You're not going to give up. You're not going to stop her. You're going to work harder.
So if you ever hear me, we were talking about Pixar movies. I brought it up. Someone asked us, like, we always talk about what Pixar and Disney movies we love. Which do you hate? I said Cars 2. The reason was 7 years ago yesterday, I watched Cars 2. Next day, got diagnosed with cancer. So I'm like, nope, that movie sucks. I hate it. I'm never watching it again. My kids will never see this movie. They still haven't to this day, even though we have Disney Plus and they've seen, like, everything else. So yeah, no, Cars 2 is just out of my dictionary of movies at this time. So any proceeds from ffpodshirts.storeinvite.com will go to the Colorectal Cancer Alliance. Also, again, if you're a patron of our show, you can see at least me. I don't know if Brian has them on.
I don't today, brother. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine.
I'm letting you down.
You're on your hiatus. There's no expectations for you right now. We're just happy to see your face and hear your voice. Neon green, navy blue, Trade Addicts Pod all over them. $5 each, $2 from each wristband will now get donated to the Colorectal Cancer Alliance. Just slide up into my DMs. I already have three people's worth that I need to just, man, I need to just go to freaking Walgreens and get this stuff taken care of or something, but I'm still terrified of leaving the freaking house. But that's, yeah, that is what it is. And I keep mentioning being a patron of our show, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. You can watch us record, jump in the chat, give us things to talk about when we're sitting here stalling over and over again. I will, edit in heavy air quotes out the giant gaps of silence when we're trying to figure out what to say next. And also there's the Cool Kids Club, which is a freaking awesome group chat on GroupMe where, you know, cool kids go to talk, and there is so much fantasy football talk and just other talk, because at this point I consider at least the people that actually are in there and talk friends at this point. So come be my friend. That's all I want. That's why I do this. I need friends. I can't do it in real life, so I need to do it over the internet. Please be my friend. I'm out of things to say after just begging the internet to be my friend. So good night, everybody.
Good night.
Alex out.
Good night, guys.
Nice to see you, Bri.
Thank you, boys.
Love you guys.
Thank you for listening. review, subscribe, and rate the podcast. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.